You're listening to the English language news of Khan, the Israeli Public Broadcasting Corporation.
Good evening and Chag Sameach. This is Nomi Segal with a special program of interviews and music for the Passover holiday. Families are gathering around the Seder table this evening. This year, many missing those who are not with us. The October 7th attack, the ongoing war, the hostages still in captivity, and those still displaced from their homes have deeply affected the spirit of the holiday. We'll hear about some of the ways some are choosing to navigate this complicated time. We'll also hear about a unity initiative led by a women's leadership forum, a new art exhibition at Bet HaGeffen in Haifa, and as Passover is a spring holiday, suggestions for outdoor activities. Here's Ya'el Eilat, Shlachna et Ami. Let my people go.
Maher Moshe tzav et Paro, Shlachna et Ami. Mitzvat ha'el emor na lo, Shlachna et Ami. Shlachna et Ami Meso Moshe Dvar Shaddai Shlachna et Ami Velo Akecha B'makotai Shlachna et Ami Shmana
Rabbi Dalia Marks, the Aaron D. Penkin Professor of Liturgy and Midrash at Hebrew Union College and author of From Time to Time, Journeys in the Jewish Calendar, spoke to us about Passover in this challenging time and how we can impart special meaning to the Seder.
I think this year is going to be quite challenging to think about Pesach, which is the celebration of Chirut, of freedom, of liberation. How can we think about liberation in times like this? Well, we record it a few days before Passover, so let us hope that by the time it is broadcast, all the hostages will be home and we could talk about this whole situation in past tense. But nevertheless, we experienced this year an unprecedented, difficult, scary, challenging time on so many levels. And we experienced it also in the previous festivals, right? If Hanukkah is, among other things, the festival of heroism, of victory, we were not completely there when we celebrated. If Purim is a celebration of joy and merriment, and that was also challenging. And the same with Passover. And I think in and of itself, this is the unique feature, the unique nature of Jewish festivals, maybe all festivals, not just Jewish, the unique junction between the circular time, the festivals will always come back, and the linear time that is not repeating itself. Well, let's hope it's not repeating itself in the historical time, that every moment is new or different. So the junction between these two types of time, the repetitive time and the one time, the linear, unique time, is what gives our celebration the unique feature. Yeah? If I think about Pesach, this is actually a very good example. The initial celebration of Pesach was to offer the sacrificial lamb in the temple. When that was not possible anymore due to the destruction of the temple, and let us say that I have no yearning for the reconstruction or the rebuild of the temple and the restoration of the sacrificial cult, but when this was not longer possible, the rabbis replaced the offering, the actual offering in the temple, with a celebration of text. That's the birth of the Seder in its initial form by the sages of the Mishnah and later on. And when Jews suffered the persecution, and remember, Passover was the most dangerous time in the year for Jews under Christianity. That's the time in the year where most blood libels were committed against the Jews, you know, that the Jews are using blood of Christian children to produce their matzahs and things like this, and Jews killed Jesus, etc. This was the time of the gravest persecutions. Jews were very much afraid, and that explains the birth of the messianic part of the Haggadah, the piyutim, the liturgical hymns that you find at the end of the Passover Haggadah, the Passover text, that talk about the redemption, about the messianic age, about the coming of the Messiah, right? That's an innovation that was added to the Haggadah in times of distress. And the same this year, I see around me a countless of suggestions and new texts, the new rituals to add, that people propose to add into our Passover Haggadah to mark the special situation, the special tragic and sad situation that we're in, and to give it a meaning in the framework of the Passover celebration.
So if, as you say, over the generations and years, especially here with Passover, it enfolds the tribulations and the events mm-hmm. that the Jewish people have found themselves in, and certainly the Passover Seder traditionally is a time about questions and discussion, right. And perhaps plumbing those texts to also find insights and strengths, what are some that you might tap into at this time?
Right, it's exactly. At the core, at the base, at the heart of the Passover celebration is the question. And the question is, Manishtana, what is different this year? How is it different? What has changed? And it encourages us to reflect and to meditate and to think about our own lives as individuals, as families, as a nation. Also, I would say, in a global way, how our world is changed. And I think this year you can see all kinds of suggestions to mark this Manishtana, what is different. So I can think of a few things. The suggestions that I would like to share with you today are taken from the Reform Movement, Israeli Reform Movement website. So one suggestion is to decorate the table with yellow ribbons, which became a symbol for the commitment and the yearning and the struggle to return the hostages. That's in Israel. Interestingly enough, in the States, I saw they're using normally blue ribbon for some reason, but we were using yellow ribbon, which I think is an American thing initially. So today, that should be part of the decoration that informs the situation that we're now. Another proposal is to have a special cup. Right? And Passover, we have four cups of wine, and then we have a cup of Eliyahu, of Elijah. And in many families, you have an additional cup, that's the cup of Miriam, that has living water in it, not wine. But this year, there's a proposal to incorporate in on the table a cup that is half full, that kind of that symbolizes our hopes and yearnings that we can feel it to its fullness by next year, because our lives are not full, or we're not complete until the hostages return home. That's another suggestion. In many families, and I also saw it in many synagogues, you leave an empty chair to mark the feeling that we cannot really be together, or we cannot really be around the table without the missing presence of those who need to be with us, and they are not with us anymore. There's been a beautiful text by Rabbi Alona Lisitsa that is to be recited when we cut the matzah, the unleavened bread, into two halves. And by this text, we mark the sadness and the mourning about the fact that half of our heart is captive in Gaza, with all these people who are in the tunnels, and we don't know who of them is alive and how are they, and we really miss them, and we want them to come back home. And again, there are all kinds of texts that were proposed. There are additional four questions. There is an additional 10 plagues, and also a suggestion to drip a drop of the wine into, like we do when we read the traditional 10 plagues. So you can see that we use symbols of the traditional Passover celebration and commemoration in order to bring attention to the current situation where we are at right now. Well, and I will just add to this that Passover, more than other celebration, is the place where we talk about our peoplehood, the state where we are. This is the time where, in a lot of families, the older people in the family, the older generation, tell about their experiences in the young state of Israel, in the Holocaust, the sojournings and migrations. This is the time where you have intergenerational discourse, and this time it's all generations together experience this terrible events of October 7th and everything that followed it.
Certainly, many of the questions that come up during Passover, and first and foremost, how does this relate to me, are especially applicable in these days, that we feel very connected to these questions more than ever, perhaps.
Absolutely. And I will add to that, as we said at the beginning, that time of distress and time of trouble and times that we experience catastrophe is a great catalyst for liturgical and ritual innovations. That's what we see often. But the other side of this coin is that creativity, liturgical, religious, textual creativity is a coping device with our reality and the difficulties that we experience. We use it to explain to ourselves what we're experiencing and what we're hoping for, what we're praying for, how we envision our lives after this distress, and what we should do in order to get out of this situation.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Naomi. Toda rabba, and may it indeed be Chag Sameach. Happy Passover.
Rabbi Dalia Marks, Aaron D. Pankin, Professor of Liturgy and Midrash at Hebrew Union College, and author of From Time to Time, Journeys in the Jewish Calendar. Here's Eti Ankri, Yedidi HaShechachta.
ולמה מחרת אני
Prophet Miriam's tambourine, a symbol of the Exodus out of Egypt, is the inspiration for an artistic project planned at Hostages Square in Tel Aviv to raise awareness of the hostages in Gaza with a message of unity, underscoring the role and responsibility women place in this effort. An initiative of creator activist Tali Dvir Livnat, posters gathered from various demonstrations and painted yellow are being used to erect a giant 3-meter-wide drum, the Drum of Hope. The gathering also called for a special Seder for the return of the hostages and discussion circles. The event was originally planned for last week and was rescheduled due to Iran's aerial attack on Israel. Before the postponement, we heard about the project from Dr. Aliza Levy, a former Knesset member and founder of the 120 Women Leadership Council, which is behind the initiative.
So Sunday we are going to be together in the hostages area in Tel Aviv, and we'll join by the liberation of the drum of hope. Women of the forum and women that will join us will work a lot with brave the families and in the surrounding settlements during the war. And we ask ourselves, you know, just before Pesach, the first Pesach, that we are sitting together, all the family and many families, you know, their relatives, sons, boys, children, fathers are still in Hamas' hands, half a year. How can we sit together? There are so many questions to ask, you know, and the issue of this evening, the main mitzvah is not to clean the house. The main mitzvah is to sit together and tell our story. And how can we tell our stories with so many questions around and no answer? And then we said to ourselves, let's sit together and think about Miriam and hope and the drum and brings leadership of women, women's tools, actually our forum, a new forum that we established a year ago, because we found ourselves, many women, without understanding the situation. How come that we became enemy? We don't think the same, but how come that we can't work together anymore? What's happened? And when we saw all around, we said to ourselves, all the time we are saying, you know, we women, we have the power and leadership, so let's sit together and see if really, even though that we are not the same, we can sit together, women from settlements and women that are want peace now and women from Tel Aviv and religious and secular, Sephardic, Ashkenazi, from the center and from east and west, sit together. And thank God we sat together, and took us like 4 or 5 months to learn again how to listen to each other. And after half a year that we travel everywhere and we made our journey, October the 7th came, and all of us worked together, and we were everywhere and went to the families that lost their relatives and to the hospitals and helped many, many, many people and families. And now, just before Pesach, we, as I said, ask ourselves, what are we going to do? So we invite everyone to come Sunday afternoon, 5:30, to make together drum of hope, and then to sit together in circles and panel and discuss how can we make it together, hold hands, and bring the answers to the questions that we can't solve. And more than that, about our experience as a woman, what can we do more to bring more women to the places that are making the decisions? It's not enough women, not as feminist point of view, more bring another views and another perspective table. We see the results, we see the situation. So we invite leaders from several organizations, women organizations, to sit together and think. And after, we are going to sit around long table, only with a long white table map, and reading the Haggadah, but not the Haggadah that you're familiar with, the Haggadah that we brought memories and songs and writing from women that wrote very ancient materials from the Holocaust and from the Inquisition and from other periods that women ask
questions about redemption, about a situation like this. We will remember and remember our brothers and sisters that are not here with us. And all of us will pray and ask for better time. And, you know, every Passover, we finish the Seder, with Shana Abba, Yerushalayim, and next year in Jerusalem. And this year, it's another meaning. And we need to speak about it and make more people be aware.
Is the idea about building bridges among these various different sectors who come together in this forum, or is it also thinking about actionable steps that can be taken to raise the issues?
We need to make the change. And unfortunately, in the last year and before, we, the women, we didn't work together because the ideological point of view was much more stronger than the feminist point of view. When we don't work together as a nation, as a people, as women, so first, we are losing the positions, the control, and when we don't work together and we don't even think where to be, you know, I used to be in some other organizations, but I think that what happened last year made a huge change, and we need to come back to understand that we need to be united again. So in this event, we call it the Chatzuyot, means that we are not one, and we need to work on the fact that half a year we are in a war, and half people, half war, and this unique performance that will be held in the Chatufim Square. It's a huge lifting drum that will be built from protest signs and will echo the sound of the cry of the breakup for the people that are not with us. And actually, Miriam, the prophet, and Miriam, one of the leaders in the desert, Miriam that took the drum with her. And, you know, always I'm asking myself, how come that she had the drum in the desert? And answer is that in the night, you know, in the night, the horrible night that they left Egypt, and without knowing here and there, she remembered she was remembering to take the drum, because she knew that this is her tool, leadership tool. And even in the darkest time, always there is a light, and you have, and all of us have to remember it. And the drum remind the light that Miriam saw in that night. And she knew that in the future, it will be time to celebrate and to sing and to dance. And all of us need to think about it. And this, you know, opportunity Sunday afternoon to think about the situation and to be aware of the ramification, that not all the time it's time to blame one each other. Sometimes it's the time to take responsibility. So this event that is open for everyone will speak about our responsibility in these days as women to take the change.
Dr. Aliza Lavie, founder of the 120 Women Leadership Council. Here's Yonatan Raz-El, Vehi She'amda.
She'amda la'avoteinu והיא שעמדה לבותינו ולנו שלא אחד לבד עמד עלינו לחלותינו עמד עלינו לחלותינו והיא שעמדה לבותינו והיא שעמדה לבותינו ולנו שלא אחד בלבד עומד עלינו לחלותינו עומד עלינו לחלותינו והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מצילנו מידם והקדוש ברוך הוא יצילנו שעמדה לבותינו והיא שעמדה לבותינו ולנו שלא אחד בלבד עומד עלינו לחלותינו עומד עלינו לחלותינו והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו
Geffen, the Arab Jewish Culture Center in Haifa, is marking its 60th birthday with a diverse multidisciplinary program. Among the special events is a new exhibition that opened this month at the Bet HaGeffen Art Gallery, Face, Body, Home. We heard more from Ina Berkowitz, director and curator of the Bet HaGeffen Art Gallery.
We are speaking against the backdrop of the upcoming opening of a new exhibition at the Bet HaGeffen Gallery. But first, it's part of the 60th anniversary events of Bet HaGeffen. First, let's talk a little bit about this cultural institution for perhaps listeners who don't know, which is very unique in the Israeli cultural scene.
Yes, it is, in fact, very special. It's an Arab-Jewish cultural center in Haifa that was opened in 1963. So they've been in existence for a very long time. And what we do is we try to promote this idea of a multicultural society through culture and art.
This is certainly something that's very important and can also be very challenging at times.
It is challenging. It has been challenging throughout the existence of our center, and it is especially challenging right now. But I think that's what makes it so important, that we continue this conversation between the different people that live here, and with this idea that if we talk to each other, then we can live better with each other and with the different views that we have here in Israel.
How is Beit HaGefen marking this milestone?
So during the month of April, we're having several cultural events. We had a huge concert with the Revolution Orchestra just a few days ago. And we have many concerts and plays that are going on through this month, and we're opening a new exhibition at the gallery as well.
So let's talk about that, as you are curator of this gallery and this exhibition.
Yeah, sure. So it's a very diverse exhibition. It's called Face, Body, Home. And there are four artists that show in this exhibition. Irina Karkabi, a very seasoned, very talented painter. Ayman Dao, who's a fashion designer and also an artist, and two performers, Duab Sis and Saeed Mansour, who will be performing a new performance at the gallery at the opening night.
And how do all of these elements interplay?
Well, I think I just want to say that nothing that we do the 7th of October is really planned, so we're trying to adapt to a new reality. So there was supposed to be a different exhibition at the gallery, but we decided to change course a little bit. And I think this exhibition is really going back to the basic needs of us as people. So a need to see a human face, a friendly face, to have a human connection and to feel at home. And I think that the different works that are on display at the exhibition really touch on different aspects of those themes.
There's an interplay there as well.
Well, yes. Yeah, so the artists all work in very different disciplines. So the Irina Karkabi is showing an exhibition of portraits. And these are friends and family and intellectuals from Haifa. And you are just walking into a room of faces, and she is really good at making that connection with the people that she paints, and you really feel like you stare into the eyes of these people and you are getting to know these people. And Ayman Dao is showing an installation that is part of the house itself, the gallery itself. He's kind of peeling off the different layers of this house that the gallery is located in, which was built during the Ottoman Empire. So there are many layers. And he started working on this work before the 7th of October and continued working after, and kind of the focus shifted. And from this celebratory work, it turned into this beacon of light and hope that helped him through this hard time. And the performance that was planned especially for the gallery is really two people, a couple. They're not a couple in real life, but they're making this connection through fabric and through movement. And they talk about all these little moments that a human connection can be made or missed.
So it's about human connection. You mentioned the faces, the various faces who appear in the portrait, and also adjusting the exhibition post October 7th. Were the paintings still intended, or it was thinking about the images that were being chosen, the works that were chosen for it?
We're really showing a body of work that Irina has been working on for over 30 years. And I have to say that even though we're adapting to this very harsh reality, what we do here is not really new. So she's been working on depicting the different types of people that live in Haifa and this tapestry of characters and cultures that exists in Haifa. And it's very relevant to our situation today.
The gallery is very much, as you mentioned, of Haifa as well.
I think Haifa is a very unique city in Israel. And I think there is this, you can say the word coexistence. I think it's not ideal by any means, but we do see a more diverse society in Haifa than I think in other cities in Israel. I think that the different cultures in Haifa have a more, have more of a voice. So I think the Beit HaGeffen is just kind of like this little capsule of that.
And going back to Irina's works, it's an intimate experience then for the artist, but also for the viewer, perhaps.
I think, yeah, I think it's very intimate. And I think we were showing it also for the first time our sketches that she made when she was 15 years old. And you can see how talented she was at 15, but you can also see she painted her grandmother, her father, her mother, her little brother. So you're really getting to see her family, get to see her partner, her children, all her family. So you are really walking into Irina's home in a way.
Very much a retrospective on her own life and also her development as an artist.
Yes, definitely. And you can really see how she perfected her craft over the years, and she really reached a level of craftsmanship that is masterful. And you don't see that very often in the art world today.
And is there a sense as well of her own life experiences in the way that she portrays individuals, depending on when they were painted during her career?
Definitely, yes. I think it's a very intimate experience to paint someone. So a connection is made, even if the person that you are painting is not someone that you know very well. So there are little stories that go with every portrait that you can read at the exhibition. And I think, yeah, it shows her life experiences. I think it shows her experience as an immigrant here in Israel, came here from Russia, and I think it shows a little bit that sense of not having roots, and I think some of the connections that she made with the people that she painted are also people that don't have roots and are searching for a home and a connection.
Very much in line with the title of this exhibition. So when and where can it be seen?
So we are opening on the 18th of April at 7 o'clock, and the exhibition will be shown throughout the next month until the 9th of August.
Ina Berkowitz, director and curator of the gallery at Beit HaGeffen. Here's Shachar Cohen, Ma Nishtana.
רק הד קלוש משנות ה-90 בשולחן מתנגן. אתה מבוגר, הילדים הם שלך, גם אם אתה ילד נצחי. משתהה למולם איך בו בזמן הם מתנים ולוקחים נאורים. שיפסיק לתקתק למרות שיש מגפה, הזמן לא נעצר, הוא ממשיך לפעום כל דפיקה של הלב. מגירות שסגרת, חלום
שהדף יגלה את האמת. מה אתה מסתיר? מי אתה כעת? נלחם בשעון שיפסיק לתקתק, למרות שיש מגפה, הזמן לא נעצר. הוא ממשיך לפעום כל דפיקה של הלב, בגירות שסגרת חלום שבו.
Passover heralds the spring. Keren Kayemet Lisrael, the Jewish National Fund, has readied its forests for visitors over the week-long holiday. Reporter Arieh O'Sullivan spoke with Michael Ben Abu, director of the Israel Fundraising Department at KKL-JNF, about events and suggested places to visit.
What can you recommend for Israelis to do?
Basically, we offer a spring festival at the KKL-JNF Forest with wide range of Israeli and Passover-related experiences, music, happenings, workshops, and all kind of activities for the entire family, which is mostly targeted for the families with children, mm-hmm. but not only.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that all activities are free of charge, yet one has to sign up in advance at our toll-free number, which is Kavlaya, the forest line, which is 1-800-350-550. So
okay.
It's 1-800-350-550.
Where is this, all over the country or in certain specific locations?
It's all over the country. We try to cover the south, the central area of Israel, and the north, of course. And let's start with the variety of the happenings which are taking place. At Chof HaKarmel, shoreline, we have an activity with visiting the cave trail, walking tour, where the Neandertal man was there. So it would be an interesting tour, walking tour. We have at Lavi Forest, we have at Park Hayarden, in which we'll have a theater play for children about the electricity making, because this is where Aram Naharaim, where the first PowerPoint plan was created. In the central area, we have a Shemesh picnic area and the Givat Yeshayahu, which is going to be a unique activity with archaeology. and the history workshop with making mosaics, etc.
Really? Where? That Kivet Yeshayahu, the Moshav, and the Elah
yeah,
Valley?
We have our offices, our regional offices, where the headquarters of the local forest, and this is where it's going to be.
Nice.
At Ilanot Botanical Garden, which has the over 350 species of trees, we will have like activities related to Pesach. And also at the Hulda Forest, we have the music concert at night. And so this is also not only for families with children. In the south, we have some unique activities. This time, at Gilat, at the Eshel Pesach happenings, where we will have the ability for children to re-experience Exodus or Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Nice.
Coming out of Egypt, like we will play the entire Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Okay.
And, of course, it's a holiday of freedom, Chag HaFirut. And what will be also offered is the Mimuna festivity at Ofakim Park, where the children will be able to bake pitas and mofletas in forest. And basically, it's a lot of fun and giving the opportunity for the families with children to enjoy. And and this is not only for children, because we offer a lot of guided tours. All the information can be found at Kavlaya, the forest line, which is 350. And of course, you can find the information in our website, which is kkl.org.il.
Excellent. So I see that you spoke about a whole plethora of places and venues around the country. What about the Gaza periphery? Is JNF doing anything around there?
Well, I spoke about Gilat, Bet Eshel, and also Ofakim.
Okay.
We try to avoid offering activities for the security reasons, obvious security reasons. So not in the Otef necessarily, no.
Okay, so these events you're talking about, the mosaic making event and other music, what days are it happening? Is it happening just on the Wednesday and Thursday of Chol HaMoed, or is it also during
Chol HaMoed and the seventh day of Pesach, mm-hmm. where Mimuna is celebrated, which became, entire national holiday. And where we can start to make the dough, so we would be baking pitas and mofletas. So, yeah.
And what about on the holiday itself and in the Sabbath?
We do not offer activities organized for mm-hmm. Shabbat.
But the parks are open, yes?
The parks are open, and there will be supervisors from, foresters. Forest rangers with making sure that everything is kept, but we do not offer on Shabbat or holiday itself activities.
And how many people you're expecting to visit the JNF parks?
Usually it's like hundreds and thousands of people, and I believe that, with the nice weather and hoping that everything would be calm and peaceful, there would be over hundreds of people.
That sounds fascinating. That's great. Thanks, Michael, for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Michael Ben Abu of KKL JNF. That concludes our program. Thanks for listening. You can find Khan English on the Khan radio and digital platforms. This is Nomi Segal wishing you good evening. And Pesach Sameach. Here's Ehud Banai, Ha'aviv Befetach. Spring is coming.
Ha'aviv Befetach, שלא יחסר מחוץ לעונה איפה נעשה את הסדר כמו בשנה שעברה
בזמר חוצות יחפני הרוח והטבעת מי